outstanding performance.
He was outstanding. Yeah, yeah, fantastic.
Freakish.
Thanks, Dino.
Good on you, Dino.
Talk next week, mate.
Thank you, man. Cheers.
Just on Zorba's theme, just quickly, Jimmy, the Battle of the Nines, he says, will have a big influence on a lot of games this year. Wade Egan, your man, comes in against Mahoney, and Pete's versus Hodgson, two games this afternoon.
Hodgson, the standout, those four, the standout. Egan and Marnie have a very similar type game, actually.
You like Wade Egan, don't you?
I'm a very big fan of Wade Egan, the former Lithgow Storm junior. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break for the news, and then after the news, we'll be back with the great Wally Lewis as our legend of the game.
I'm Sarah Womby. The Christchurch Mosque terror attack has now claimed the lives of 50 people, with a further 50 people on the injured list. According to New Zealand Police Commissioner Mike Bush, a total of 36 people, two critical, remain in Christchurch Hospital, while a young girl is in Auckland Starship Children's Hospital. Four people have been arrested, but only 28-year-old Australian man Brenton Tarrant has been charged with murder. Hundreds of people have visited a memorial near the main Christchurch Hospital. Locals have told the ABC they just wanted to be there to leave flowers and messages.
People just come together. Christchurch is actually good at doing that.
It's chilling that this has happened.
It's a way of bringing, you know, people together to come together after something so horrific.
A prayer vigil is planned in the northern New South Wales town of Grafton, the hometown of the alleged gunman. With news of his alleged involvement in the attacks, the local cathedral will hold a vigil tomorrow night. Dean of Grafton Cathedral, Greg Jentis, told the ABC the entire town wants to send their prayers to the city of Christchurch.
Particularly the victims and the families of the victims in the mosque, yeah, we're just one with them in compassion.
A New South Wales Police and Corrective Services investigation is now underway into the circumstances surrounding a prisoner's death at Lismore Base Hospital on Friday night. Corrective Services said yesterday that the male inmate assaulted one of two officers and attempted to run away as he was being led from the hospital following treatment. It's alleged the inmate was shot after a warning shot had been fired by one of the officers. The inmate received immediate treatment by paramedics but died about 2 hours later. Also in news, the Tasmanian Liberal government will start the parliamentary year with two new MPs after the shock resignation of veteran Rean Hidding and the departure of Adam Brooks. And the Western Australian government will move forward with plans to help introduce a three-bin system to all metropolitan areas by 2025. A murder investigation is underway in Italy after the mysterious death of a model who testified against a former prime minister. The BBC's Karen Allen.
According to one of Italy's leading newspapers, toxicology results from samples sent to a specialist laboratory suggested the presence of a mixture of radioactive substances in the dead model's body. Iman Fadil's lawyer said she had expressed a fear that she had been poisoned when she became ill and was admitted to hospital at the end of January. Ms. Fadil was thrown into the public spotlight in 2012 when she testified in the case of former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. He was accused of having sex with an underage prostitute at one of his notorious sex parties at his private villa in Milan, but was acquitted on appeal.
And between 100 and 200 pro-Brexit protesters have begun to march from northeast England to London, accusing politicians of betrayal by failing to take Britain out of the European Union. The UK's departure, due on March 29, is likely to be delayed as UK MPs wrangle over whether to approve a withdrawal agreement with the bloc. Parliament voted this week to seek a delay of at least 3 months. This is AIR News. All off-season talk about North Queensland has been on retired legend Jonathan Thurston's absence, but it seems everyone has forgotten about the other JT. Jason Tamalolo was unstoppable against St George Illawarra last night in the Cowboys' 24-12 season opening victory in Townsville, the lock running for 286 metres and playing a pivotal role in two tries. The Dragons looked the more settled side early and scored the first try in a Dower opening half before JT took over. Earlier, the Tigers defeated Manly 20-6 and New Zealand thrashed the Bulldogs 40-6. Interim Central Coast coach Alan Stajic praised the spirit of his side and the mental strength of goalkeeper Ben Kennedy after they shocked Newcastle 3-2 in a stoppage time thriller at McDonald Jones Stadium. In their first game under the former Matildas boss, the last place Mariners damaged Newcastle's final hopes in a dramatic finish last night. Stajic said all the accolades belong to the players.
Just to see the spirit and the effort and the way that the lads went about their work, you could see that they were really fighting and scrapping for every moment, trying to win every ball, every challenge.
In the other game, Brisbane went down to Melbourne 2-1 at Docklands. Lewis Hamilton has claimed a record equaling eighth pole position at the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne. And in the AFLW, there were wins for Fremantle and Adelaide. Australian Independent Radio News.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Stylish furniture right now at Amart Furniture. Save up to 50% off selected furniture across the store. With deals this good, you'll be saying, I got it at Amart. In Villawood, there's been a smash southbound on Woodville Road at the Hume and a lot of flood-affected roads around Sydney, including in West Pimble, Ryde Road at the Bergs Bridge, Killarney Heights, Warringah Road on Roseville Bridge, and a Roselle, one citybound lane on the Crescent is closed as you approach Victoria Road. Want to live the dream? Live at the Hermitage, Gledswood Hills, located in the heart of one of Sydney's fastest-growing regions. Exclusive new homes now available. Search the Hermitage, Gledswood Hills today. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Don't forget to join us Monday morning, Punters Postmortem, 9 a.m. We analyse the Group 1 Coolmore Classic. It's the last throw at the stumps for the juveniles in the Magic Night and the Pango Pango, plus the drama from the All-Star Mile in Melbourne. All that from 9 o'clock, Punters Postmortem.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
But we'll go around the country too, James. Sydney showers, possibly heavy at times, 23 degrees the top. Brisbane heading for a top temperature of 29 degrees, but there were showers and a possible storm there as well. Adelaide, beautiful day, 31 degrees, sunny all day in Adelaide. Hobart, similarly, lovely sunny day, top of 22 degrees. Darwin, shower 2, 34.
Mark in what's been a very good day for Australia from 2-0 down.
Oh, here's Mane, and Mane's to Neuer. Fantastic goal scored by Sadio Mane. Jurgen Klopp salutes the Liverpool supporters. Oh,
to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It's the final hour of the show, and not that we get excited about the fact that it's final hour, but, you know, there's just 1 hour to go on a Sunday here, so we are looking forward to it. We've got a big hour planned for you, our legend of the game, which we try to do every week, and this one was very special. We did it a little bit earlier. Wally Lewis, the legendary Australian rugby league player, and was a great chat too, so we thought we'd replay Wally Lewis. Will have a sports update with Tanya. We'll take you around the globe. Phil Moss will give us all the latest from the A-League, the English Premier League, and the FA Cup. And we'll also have a chat.
The man you, James.
We'll chat to Jared Daffy from TAB later on this hour as well. We'll also have our couple of questions that are remaining in the China Doll long-time listener quiz.
What's question number two, James?
Question number two is, who did Dean Bulldog Richie tip to be his wooden spooners? Most losses for season 2019. Who did Dean Bulldog Richie tip to be the most number of losses? We've got our talk topic for today, Raymond. It's traitors on the back of Cody Walker saying to Angus Crichton, oh, you're a traitor. People said Zorba left the Eels.
Parramatta, Manly.
He said something about, what's Duck Creek?
It must be.
So anyway, Zorba said that. But you said Don Bradman was a traitor.
I didn't say Don Bradman was a traitor. You invented that word after we decided on that talk topic, and all of a sudden it became traitors.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Babe Ruth was my nomination too. We're talking first round of the National Rugby League too. A couple of games remaining in that. Panthers v Eels today. We'll get Ray's tip on that like we need it. And we'll also have the Titans v Raiders. That's later. The good news from an NRL point of view, and there's lots of good news to talk about. Channel 9 up 9% on Friday. Fox Sports up 27%. The opening game on Thursday, that was the Storm versus the Broncos. So very, very
great
bullish
TV numbers, but
yeah.
Great crowd figures too. Over 16,000 at the Storm game, 21,000 for the Knights in Newcastle. It's always a fantastic crowd up there. SCG had 24,500, terrific on a wet night.
Yes.
Over 18,000 at the Warriors game, 13,000 at Leichhardt, always packed when you get 13. And up at North Queensland Townsville, 18,000 plus to the Cowboys game. So terrific numbers to start the new season, James.
So the challenge is there for the final two games. The Panthers, they'll get a good crowd out there today. Their big clash of the season is against the Parramatta Eels.
You're calling it, aren't you, James?
Yes, calling that one on radio, rival radio station, so we won't give them, give them a mention. And Cbus Super Stadium, where that game kicks off tonight at just after 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock on Queensland time.
Okay. In keeping with the NRL theme, let's listen to our interview last year of one of the all-time greats. It's the King, Wally Lewis.
Our legend of the game is the one and only Wally Lewis. AM, thanks very much. A bloke who had, well, when you have nicknames and they're royalty, it tells you something about
the
it.
King.
King Wally, the Emperor of Lang Park, he's been good enough to join us on the line now. G'day, Wal.
G'day, boys. How are you? I was enjoying some of those names. I've been called plenty of
Yeah, well, this program, Wally, goes pretty much all around New South Wales. So I think a lot of people in this state had a love-hate relationship with you during the course of your career, and that was testimony to what a great player you were. Let's go back to where it started. I think, was it your old man Jimmy was a first-grade player up there in the Brisbane comp, and that's how rugby league became a part of your life?
Yeah, he played for both West and South here in Brisbane, and later went on to coach first grade at the Winner Manly Club, where I eventually ended up playing. And my mum was pretty handy at sport as well. She represented Queensland in netball for about 10 years.
Wow.
Had five kids along the way. so, yeah, born into a sporting family, definitely. And I think that was a massive benefit for me.
Yeah, in the genes. Well, you went on an Australian schoolboys tour, I think, in 77. And by memory, there was a lot of great players to come out of that tour, Wal.
Yeah, fantastic players. Yeah. I mean, when you go back and you have a think about it, the captain of the tour was Tony Melrose, who played for the Wallabies, also Parramatta. Spent a bit of time there. And another bloke by the name of Mark Eller, who was a pretty handy player. The two inside centres were myself and Michael Hawker. And, of course, Michael Hawker went on to
play
captain
Wallabies.
The Wallabies. Outside centres, Michael O'Connor and Gary Eller. And then Glenn Eller was playing at fullback. And we had some very handy players in the forward pack as well. Chris Roach, Tony Darcy, just being amongst them. That was just a super side. It was fantastic and a real thrill to play in.
Why'd you go to the Valleys Club? Why'd you go to league straight after that?
Mate, I played league all of my life.
Right.
All the way through. I went to, after getting in a Queensland primary schools team, I received an offer to go and play rugby union. I'd never really heard of rugby before. So I went there and I didn't enjoy the game too much to start with, but in grades 11 and 12, I certainly did. There was a little bit different about it, a new coach, and then getting the opportunity to play in that Australian schoolboys, that was freakish. And we had one rule from the coach. He said, if you kick the ball, you won't be playing the next couple of games. We played, I think it was 19 games on tour, and we actually kicked the ball less times than the games that we played on tour.
Wow.
We kicked it less times than the 19 occasions that we played, and it was just a thrill. But to have some of the blokes in it, like the Ella brothers, Hawker and O'Connor, it was just freakish to have blokes like that that were amongst the greatest attacking players I've ever seen.
Well, Wally, that's when the game was rightfully called the game they play in heaven, when the ball was used and passed through the hands, and it's just so good. Well, I was living in Townsville for a year when I was watching you as a young man at Valleys and up against another young man by the name of Mal Meninga. I think it was in the grand final in 1980 by memory. Would that be right? Or
1979,
that'd be it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's right.
And both young men then, but you stood out at the time, and Mal Meninga, who's going to become such an important part of your Australian and Queensland teams over the years, what was it like to play alongside him in all those great years, Wally?
Wonderful. I actually played against him the first time in under-18s. We'd been beating the Police Academy pretty comfortably, and then all of a sudden in the grand final they had this kid. As soon as he got the ball, he ran straight through our team a couple of times, and we thought, where has this bloke been? I've never seen him before, but I was about to be introduced to him virtually every season from there. To play alongside him was fantastic. He just had that skill, that charisma. His timing was wonderful. The power that he had for such a young man, where he wasn't much above 14 stone in those days, but he was certainly fantastic. He was just a bloke that had a wonderful thought process about playing footy, which, and it was a little bit unusual for young blokes in those days, because it was just sort of get the ball, do what you can, and try and prove how good or how tough we were. But he also had the benefit of being coached by Wayne Bennett in the under 18. Bennett was the coach of the Police Academy team, and then he went on to coach Mal at South. So it was fantastic. Mm. And it was also an opportunity at that time for a lot of the young kids to go ahead. And I'm probably jumping the queue a little bit here, but when we got the chance to play with a lot of these kids in the Queensland sides, I can remember somebody asked a question, who was most responsible? Oh, they asked it to Dick Tosser Turner one time and Ron McAuliffe. They said, who was most responsible for Queensland's success? And McAuliffe, in his typical politician days, said, well, I think it's the Lord, the great man above. We've had a lot of blokes that were born within a similar time frame. And then he went through. He went Colin Scott, Kerry Boasted, Gene Miles, Mal Meninga, Chris Claus, Wally Lewis, Mark Murray, Paul Vorton, Wally Fullerton-Smith, Brian Niebling, Greg Dowling, Greg Kinescu and Dave Brown.
All legends.
All of those blokes born within 18 months and played a lot of footy. Either born in 1959 or 1960.
All amazing. Legends. Let's go forward to that night, July 8th, 1980, at Lang Park. And you spoke about a guy with skill and charisma, and that were just two of the great attributes of the legendary Arthur Beetson. Did you understand, Wally, when you ran out for that game, how important it was, or how important it was to become for the future of rugby league in your state?
Yeah, it had been talked about for a long, long time that it was likely that they were going to get rid of the interstate clashes, because a lot of the Sydney guys used to pull out. They used to see it as a game that probably endangered their chances of being fit for the club game that weekend, which was sad, because interstate football certainly had a great history, and thankfully State of Origin was the saviour. And it certainly, have a look at what it's grown to be now. It was absolutely wonderful. But I don't think any of us at that stage, quite honestly, understood just how big, how powerful, and how entertaining State of Origin football could be.
Wally, we've always heard over the years about how much passion there is in the Queensland side, and where it was born from. It was born from that night that Jimmy spoke about earlier in 1980. I'm always interested, what did Arthur Beetson say to the team prior to running out for that very first State of Origin match?
He walked around to each and every player in the team and gave them a pat on the back, and probably only had a 30-second conversation with him. He knew that he had to also look after his own game. There were some people that suggested that he wasn't going to be able to handle the entire contest at 35 years of age. But I can remember him coming up to me, and he said, just want to let you know how much confidence the team have in you. He said, I've spoken to a number of people up here, and he said, they've told me that you're the best player that there is in Queensland at the moment. And I can remember feeling 10 foot tall and bulletproof.
And I walked over to Chris Close and I said, oh, mate, I'm feeling really good about it now. Fantastic. I'm over the top. Arthur just said to me that he thought that I was the best player in Queensland. He's been told I was the best player in Queensland. Choppy started laughing. He said, come over here. And we walked over to Mel Manning and he said, Mel, tell Wally what you just told me. And he said, Arthur came up to me and he said, you're the best player here in Queensland. we laughed at each other. But and then Arthur heard about what we'd been talking about. Mm. So he pulled us aside and he said, guys, I haven't seen a lot of you play. He said, but unless you had some sort of ability, you wouldn't be here in the first place.
Yeah.
Get out there. You've got a lot of blokes that have wonderful football skill alongside them. He said, but just trust your mates. Mm. Always trust your mates. If you weren't any good, they wouldn't be here in the first place. We're here to win. And I can remember, you know, the words when I was out there. You know, I had some severe doubts about whether I was actually going to make it, and so did Choppy and so did Mel. But once they'd sort of got out there and displayed the sort of confidence that had been instilled in them by Arthur, I think it was just, you know, a real indication of what was to come for State of Origin football, because we realised that it was the last chance for Queensland to be able to gain some sort of confidence and a belief that they were going to be able to do it at State of Origin level.
Yeah. Well, we often ask our legend of the game what it's like for the first time when they represent their country. You did that in 1981 v France, and you had a comfortable victory at the SCG. But I want to ask you about the time you were captaining your country. It was at the SCG again. It was after an Ashes test in 1984. You'd had a win against Great Britain, and you were booed by the Sydney crowd. Given, you know, we can only imagine what it's like to play for Australia, let alone captain Australia, and you had that. What impact did it have on you?
Yeah, we were out there singing the national anthem, actually. Well, what I thought, I was singing my national anthem. The people in the crowd were singing their national anthem, which I'd heard a couple of times before, about the one that rhymes with Wally's a banker.
Oh, yeah.
But I certainly wasn't involved in finance at that stage.
Yeah.
And it was disappointing.
Mm.
I thought, well, that'll do me. Here I am wearing the green and gold, representing Australia, doing what everybody dreams about doing, and I'm copping it. And I thought, oh, well, don't be a sook. You won't be the last time you hear it. But there was a bit of disappointment attached to it. So it was just a case of go out there, I thought. And it only took a look at the jersey that we were wearing, the green and gold, to sort of inspire me about it. But it certainly was something that that I do remember for all the wrong reasons. But the thrill of beating Great Britain certainly took it out of the question for a while.
Yeah, Wally, I think you mentioned it earlier that New South Wales also had a love-hate relationship with Wally Lewis during the Origin series, but that was more out of admiration for the dominance you had, particularly at Origin level. Could you use that sort of, I guess, angst that you found from the New South Wales crowds to your advantage?
Yeah, pretty much. It turned out to be the way, and I also had the benefit of, you know, after playing alongside Arthur in the first one, I was playing under him, and the lines that he used to deliver to me were very well timed. He knew when I needed a little bit of assistance, a little bit of inspiration, or if I needed to be sparked. And there were plenty of times where he gave me sort of a couple of short, sharp lines that were designed to make me a little bit cranky and play a little bit better. And I think he did those to the best of his ability, because there were a couple of times where he just walked it. The one that I remember more so than anything else, and it was the way that Arch used to do it, just before we went out, I noticed that he hadn't said a damn thing to me in the build-up to the game, and I coughed a bit of a spray. And just before he walked out, he reached inside his blazer and pulled out a newspaper that he had folded up, and he just dropped it on the table on where the players used to get a rub down before the game.
Yep.
And he said, you read the paper today? And it had where the media were giving me a bit of a spray and saying that I was overrated. And I looked up at him and sort of half smiled, and he just raised one eyebrow and walked out the door. And when I sort of walked out, Gene Miles and a couple of the other guys just sort of said to me, mate, we're behind you. And whatever else they went on to say after that, I don't really remember, because I just thought, well, that's the way that Arthur's done it. It's probably the way that he deserved doing it after being told that he couldn't perform at, you know, 32, then 33, then 34 years of age. And I certainly did appreciate it that evening. And when I came back in, he looked at me and smiled and he said, time to throw the paper in the bin. And it just brought a bit of a giggle. And I was pretty happy with the way that that I'd gone for the for that 80 minutes. But I knew that I'd sort of been given wonderful assistance from a bloke that had been through plenty of plenty of similar paths that I did.
Speaking of Gene Miles, how close did you come to signing with Manly, the two of you, back in, I think it was 1986?
Oh, we signed. We were signed, sealed, unfortunately not delivered. We went through a bit of a process where, in those days, to even negotiate with a player, if you want to play State of Origin football, you have to sign saying that you promised to stay in Queensland for the next 2 years.
Right.
Those agreements were basically illegal. Ron McAuliffe admitted he thought that they were illegal. He said, but son, he said, it's going to take a long time for this to get into court to start fighting this out, probably 2 or 3 years, of which you won't be able to play. So the guys used to sign, and you know, they'd all head off to Sydney clubs, unfortunately, but that was the case of us doing it. With the Manly one, though, we hadn't been paid by a club here in Brisbane, Winner Manly, who Gene Miles, myself, Greg Dowling, Colin Scott were playing for. They'd gone broke, and we hadn't been paid for about 3 years.
Wow.
And in those days, I think we were paying about 18.9% bank interest minimum. So it was very disappointing. You know, we felt that, you know, a lot of guys, the marriages were breaking up because of the wives were sort of saying, you've got to get out. We couldn't leave the clubs. Cut a long story short, we had to get an offer from Sydney. We were told that there was a Sydney club. And the clubs had to apply for permission to negotiate with the clubs to get that in motion. If they were granted that sort of opportunity, then the communication could start. We weren't told who the club was. We just got told to be at a certain place, which was the old Brisbane Airport. We thought, strange place to do the negotiations here. A bloke came up and said, I'm a pilot. I've got to fly you to Sydney. It's a private jet. Who's flying us down? Don't know. Just been hired to do it. Flew us to Sydney. Gino and I, when we were flying down, had sort of discussed how much we were talking about getting. We thought, well, you know, we've got to ask about the about 70 grand, 80 grand. The top players in Sydney are on about 90. And to cut a long story short, when we were down there, we on the way, we worked out what we were going to ask for. We got picked up and delivered to Kerry Packer's office, and we just went absolutely cold. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what to do. The plans that we had in place, we were probably doubting them a bit. and then we walked into Packer's office and he looked at us and he said, so you're the blokes causing us all the trouble. Threw a contract in front of both of us and said, hurry up and sign those. We said, well, we can't, Mr. Packer. You've got to make us an offer. He said, son, let's get one thing straight. You're in my office. You'll do business my way. I don't gotta do anything. And we were swallowing a little bit hard. And said, well, Mr. Packer, and he said, Doug Daly was the Manly secretary. He was there as well.
Yeah.
He said, Mr. Packer, we can't have these players talking about how much each other's going to be on. It's not fair. And Gene and I had both talked. We said, you know, we're going to both ask for 75 grand. You and me, we're best friends. 75 grand. We can't do it. 75,000. We've got to stick to it. Yep. Best mates. You're not getting more than me. No. Same. Yep. That's the way to do it. And Doug Daly said, yeah, got to be one at a time. So Gino virtually tore a hamstring getting out the door, leaving me in there. And Packer said, son, I've got a few things on today. Okay, so if you don't mind, let's get this over and done with. How much are you going to ask for? And I said, well, Mr. Packer, you got us. And he said, oh, I know, you don't got to do anything. Well, what about those? You know, sort of, if I say 75, he's going to chop me down. 75, chop me down. I said, oh, that'll get things moving. He said, well, let's get it underway. How much can I ask for? I said, well, if you want me to be there, you're going to have to give me $150,000, Mr. Packer. And he started giggling, and that turned into a vicious roar. Laugh you. He said, you're a Queenslander. You reckon you can get that sort of money here in Sydney? You're a Queenslander. And he just kept laughing, and I felt the embarrassment, ridiculous, about doubling the money. I thought, oh, this is stupid. You know, oh, no. And I've also double-crossed my best friend, who I promised we're only going to ask for 75, my best mate. Oh, no. And he said, and that's what you're asking. And I said, well, if you want me here at Manly, that's how much you're going to give me. And by the way, it's a 3-year deal, not a 2. And he stopped laughing. He said, you're an arrogant so-and-so, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I've already agreed to that. Yep. And he said, and you're greedy too. And I said, yep. But you give me the 3-year deal and you got me. And he said, son, you're easy. Get out and get the next bloke in here. And I sort of went all cold for a minute. I thought, I'm getting that money. This is ridiculous. Wow. And I thought, oh, but what about my mate? I promised him. That's how I'll whisper it to him when I go past. Mm. And Packer said, you wait here. We'll get the other bloke in here first. You're not telling him how much you're getting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Gino walked in, and I was trying to raise my eyebrows and look at him when I walked out. I walked outside, and I just finished shaking hands with Bob Fulton and Doug Daly, who were there representing the club. It was probably 15 seconds, and I was feeling super guilty about the double-crossing Gene. And then I heard the buzzer on the secretary's desk. You can come back in there. And I thought, I've given Gino, poor old Gino, what, 10, 15 seconds. Mm. I couldn't look at him when I got in there. And Packer said, oh, well, Bob, you got yourself an easy deal here. He said, we've got these blokes in. He said, they both agreed to terms. And I said, oh, no. And he said, Lewis, yep, he's already announced his and signed. And he's on 150. And I said, oh, no, my best friend. I'm not going to look at him and see what he's going to say here. And he said, and Miles, he's on $135,000. Oh, my best friend. I was worried about double crossing. Double crossing. I looked at him straight in the face. And he just had the tongue stuck out the side of the cheek. And it was one of those things that, as Packer said later, fellas, I think both of you have just realised today, you never, ever trust your mates. The only thing that stopped us from going to Manly, Doug Daly was the Manly secretary, who said, Mr. Packer, if the rest of the players at Manly find out how much these players are on, they'll revolt. So put them on a much less contract. We ended up signing for half of the fee. Mm. Eventually, Ron McCall of the QRL boss said that we'll match that. The QRL were to pay half of that, but what we didn't realise at the time, their intentions were we only had to match the contract that was given by Manly, not the half that came from Packer. So effectively, we were contracted to the QRL for $37,500, and the club for $37,500. But the club, once again, were unable to pay, so we stayed in Queensland for $37,500.
It's amazing.
Extraordinary.
It's a great yarn, Walt. Your whole career's a great yarn, really. It's just been fantastic. I'm sure the listeners have appreciated how candid you've been. Really appreciate you being on the program. A big thank you to Channel 9 who organised this, and we'll look forward to catching your coverage of the Rugby League over the coming months as well.
Good on you guys. Look forward to it.
Thanks so much, Walt.
There he is, Wally Lewis, the Queensland Rugby League legend.
We only scratched the surface there, Jimmy.
I wanted to talk to him about slicing through the back line like a Stradbroke Island shark.
Gee.
He's got glue on all his fingers, right?
Yeah, I know.
He's the emperor of Lang
Park. You love reciting this.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
Tab's got you covered for the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? Tab. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. Tab account best only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Friday nights have come alive at Winnie Park with the brand new Friday Night Lightning Series. The Big Dash of the Dogs will feature the fastest greyhounds around, whilst we party at the park with Sydney's coolest DJs. Grab your mates and get down to the Dogs at Wentworth Park this Friday from 5 p.m. and ride the mechanical bull, belt out the national anthem, and take a splash in the Lightning Hot Tub. Friday Night Lightning is the hottest ticket in town. Entry is just $5 at the gate. This is an event you don't want to miss. Head to the Friday Night Lightning Facebook page for more info, and we'll see you at the Dogs.
Yeah. On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
3 second half tries gave North Queensland a 24-12 win over St George Illawarra in last night's NRL game at a very wet 1300-mile stadium in Townsville. Rugby league veterans Robbie Farah and Benji Marshall helped the West Tigers to a round one win at Leichhardt, down 2-0 at halftime to Manly. Farah scored 2 second half trials. Marshall set up one to spoil Des Hasler's return to the Sea Eagles. They won 20-6. And an emotional New Zealand smashed Canterbury 40-6 at Mount Smart. Coach Stephen Kearney revealed the shooting tragedy on Friday had robbed the team of their usual upbeat approach, but that changed in the immediate lead-up. Today, Penrith and Parramatta play in Penrith. The Gold Coast host Canberra. Alan Stadjic's got the perfect start to his interim coaching role at the Mariners with a 3-2 win over Newcastle in a fiery A-League match in Newcastle last night. The win comes a week after going down 8-2 to Wellington and losing coach Mike Mulvey. While at Marvel Stadium, Melbourne Victory 2 beat Brisbane 1. Queensland overhauled a 2-1 half-time deficit to beat the Sunwolves 34-31 in the Super Rugby match in Tokyo. It's the Reds' first win of the season. The local derby between the Crusaders and Highlanders in Dunedin was cancelled. Although the match wasn't considered a risk by authorities, New Zealand Rugby made the final call not to proceed as a mark of respect for the events that occurred in Christchurch on Friday. The points will be split, and the Lions 36 beat the Rebels 33 this morning. After dominating all three practice sessions this weekend, it's no surprise Lewis Hamilton has pole for today's Australian Formula One Grand Prix. The Mercedes driver has now a record equaling 8 pole positions at Albert Park. Daniel Ricciardo, debuting for Renault, will start down the pack in 12th. Alan Osberg, the owner of Dixie Blossoms, said mission accomplished as the mare won her first Group 1 yesterday, taking out the Coolmore Classic at Rosehill Gardens. The horse will go to stud after this campaign, despite trainer Ron Quinton hinting he'd like another 12 months. Meantime, Mystic Journey won the richest 1,600-metre race in the world, the $5 million All-Star Mile at Flemington. The horse, who is trained in Tasmania, cost $11,000 as a yearling. And still with racing, Les Scopa, trained by Matt Dunn, is favourite for today's country championships qualifier at Grafton. Manchester City came back from 2-0 down to beat Swansea 3-2 in the FA Cup quarterfinal this morning. Also this morning, Wolverhampton 2 beat Manchester United 1, and overnight Watford beat Crystal Palace also 2-1. Jack Hale posted a personal best and easily won the men's 100 metres at the Perth Track Classic last night. The Tasmanian clocked 10.20 seconds in a 1.6 metre tailwind to shade his previous best time by 0.01 of a second. Rafael Nadal pulled out of the Indian Wells tennis semi-final because of a knee injury, sending Roger Federer straight into the final, where he'll play Dominic Thiem, who beat Milos Raonic in straight sets this morning. Third round this morning at the Players Golf Championships in Florida. Jason Day is just 3 off the lead. He's at 12 under. John Rahm leads at 15 under. He's in the clubhouse. He's one ahead of Rory McIlroy. Adam Scott is at minus 9. He's in a tie for 13th. Tiger Woods is at minus 3 in a tie for 43rd. Yesterday, boys, he was very close to cracking that top 10, but had that quadruple bogey on the island 17th at Sawgrass. So he tumbled down the leaderboard from that. And just quickly, the Basketball World Cup beginning later this year, I think the very end of August.
Yep.
The groups have been announced. Australia, the Boomers, they've landed in Group H with Canada, Senegal and Lithuania. Lithuania, probably the biggest threat there. They're 6th in the world. We're 11th, Senegal 37th and Canada 23.
Top two go through, 10?
Top two go through to the next round, yep.
Just before we let you go on that, 10, we've got an SMS coming in. Of course, traitor is the theme of today. We get this. Jimmy, Ray has to be the biggest traitor, going for a man with an even number fetish to back Supernova number 3.
I know.
It's ridiculous, and Tanya should keep all the money. That's from H.
Still don't know how much it was. He won either.
He won't reveal, will he?
He won't reveal.
I mean, that's classic. You have 300 on it, like Ray normally does.
It's just going up in time.
And you say, oh, well, I had 25 on it, you know. It's the oldest trick in the book.
Jimmy, I'll never know.
That's
right. Are hard.
I'll never know.
That's right. You could do a forensic audit.
Yeah.
Love that, one of those.
Tanya could find out very easily.
Yeah, no.
Share that account.
If I do, I'll let you know, okay?
Thank you, Tan. Up next, Phil Moss.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Well, a bit of a change this morning. We've actually got our football expert not only in the studio.
He wasn't last week, poor guy.
And we'll get to that shortly too. Not only is he actually on the air, he's come into the studio, which has broken a couple of traditions. Phil Moss, welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. Great to see you. I'd forgotten what you look like.
How are you, Phil?
By the way,
we love coming in, Phil.
By the way, we've got a new audience. We are now going into Queensland, Northern Territory, South Australia and Tasmania.
As much as I would love to give you guys a credit for getting me in here this morning, that is the real reason I'm here.
No pressure,
Steve,
Phil.
During the week.
No pressure.
And he said we're expanding our broadcast
audience.
And our listening audience.
And what were you saying a little bit earlier about the Brisbane Roar and how terrible their season's been and that Tasmania should never get an A-League side?
Jimmy.
You've got to be careful.
Trying to put me offside with the listeners straight away, aren't you? Let me say this.
Oh, here we go.
I have always maintained that Brisbane redefined the A-League. in the Ange era.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So due credit where it's deserved. Brisbane was the scene of my most heartbreaking moment in professional football, of course.
Grand final
so
loss.
So Brisbaneites are lucky that I even go there anymore, let alone talk to them.
Very lucky.
But and Tasmania, I would love to see an A-League franchise down there. Mm. In fact, I think Tasmania may be putting probably the most amount of pressure on the Central Coast Mariners to get their act together. Because I think Tasmania would be in a very strong position to take a licence, if not become one of the expansion clubs.
Would you be as heavily involved in the appointment of a coach for Tasmania as you were for Alan Stajic to get the job at the Central Coast Mariners?
I had absolutely nothing to do with that, but I am delighted to see him get back on the horse, Jimmy.
Shall we start on that game then? Because that was extraordinary. 3-0 up the Mariners. They've hung on to win 3-2 against Newcastle. I was watching the end, the two penalty saves. Why were they allowed to get the chance again?
Well, the Newcastle player did encroach. He definitely encroached before the penalty was taken.
But why were the Mariners penalised again for that?
Well, I mean, yeah, look, in the end, it's the referee and the VAR got it right because they're the laws
it's
of the game.
Rule, isn't it?
So basically what you're saying is why didn't they just play the advantage?
Yeah, it's a stupid rule.
The penalty was taken,
Newcastle
broke the rule, that's right. It's a good question, but to the letter of the law, the referee's got it right.
We'll see, but at least the best team won.
Yeah, that's right, and Ben Kennedy stood up. But you really did fear, at 3-0 up, once Newcastle got one, then two, you thought, here we go again, familiar story. But one thing that you can see that Alan Stajic has worked so hard on this week is the structure defensively. Obviously, after copping eight last week, that was the first thing to concentrate on.
Wasn't it five the week before as well?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, but the thing you can't improve overnight is the stamina in the players' legs, and that's been a common theme this season. I think he pointed it out in his presser that they'd been ahead nine times this season, and fallen away. And you could see that happening again yesterday, but. They held on for their new coach, and I'm personally delighted for him to get off to a flyer because I've obviously been through the last 8 weeks with him, and it hasn't been a pretty place for him or his family. So good to see him with a big smile on his face.
Has there been correspondence between you and Alan Stajic subsequent to the victory?
Yes.
Right.
What are you saying, Jim?
I would have been surprised if it well done, mate. Congratulations
absolutely.
On the first up win.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mossy. Appreciate your support.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what it was, and that's what I'd do to any coach in the A-League as well as a keen observer.
Did you send one to Kevin Muscat? Good on you, mate. Back on track. Well done. No, you didn't, did you? They got a win last night.
I don't need to. Muskie's entrenched in the job. He doesn't want a good luck and a congratulatory text from me.
In saying that, they did have to right the ship a little bit, didn't they?
Melbourne victory, absolutely. Yes, they did. That was their first win in six, I think, at Marvel Stadium.
Mm.
And that sort of statistic sort of floated along very quietly.
Yes.
There wasn't a lot made of it. But, yeah, they got the result. Barbarousis, chief destroyer, scored his seventh goal of the season, but he is a thorn in his former club's side. Every time he plays Brisbane, he scores against them. And it was a similar scene last night. But definitely a very touching tribute from him. Not celebrating the goals in respect to the Christchurch disaster the other day.
Yep.
And I have to say, all our hearts from everyone involved in Australian football go out to all those impacted families.
Exactly. Adelaide season is starting to hit the rocks, isn't
it? It's not good, Ray. They're starting to struggle. They went into this game winless in four, and they'd won two out of 11 games against top six sides this season, going into the game against Perth. And what the red flags for me are the fact that Marco Kurtz hasn't re-signed with the club, and there's a lot of conjecture around whether he'll stay or go. There's talk of him now going to Brisbane next season. That has a destabilising effect on the dressing room, particularly when he's done, from the outside looking in, he's done a pretty good job in his two seasons there, almost two seasons. But I think the red flag I saw the other night was the performance of Issa. He gave the ball away. This is one of the best players to ever grace the A-League pitches. And he gave the ball away in completely uncharacteristic circumstances the other night for Perth's first goal. And just didn't look himself. So you just wonder if there's some things going behind the scenes there or just the conjecture around the coach is destabilising them.
All right, let's get over to some EPL results, some FA Cup results. The big ones there, the late goals for West Ham and against Huddersfield Town. They ended up winning 4-3, but the save from the West Ham goalkeeper, which we've just seen on replay here, Raymond, was incredible. And then the FA Cup, Watford through, Manchester City through, and obviously Ole Gunnar Solskjaer concentrating on the Champions League.
I really thought you were going to headline. I thought you were going to headline this next little chat with that result, Jimmy. I'm so shocked you left that for last. But
concentrating on the Champions League.
Well, let's go back to front now that you've made such a big deal of that one. Wolves knocking Manchester United out of the FA Cup. Goals to Jimenez and Jota. 70th and 76th minutes. So Manchester United did hold on for at least 70 minutes with a clean sheet, but then just fell apart late. But no, seriously, they had a massive week with the Champions League. Yeah. And Solskjaer has to sign a contract as a full-time manager of that club.
Why are they delaying?
I don't know. I really don't. And there's, you know, apparently after the Champions League game in the dressing room after the game, the players with Sir Alex Ferguson and
Eric Cantona
yeah. in the dressing room, the players broke into a Solskjaer chant.
Really?
Oh, you're kidding.
So they want him desperately.
You've got royalty in the dressing room.
Yeah.
And they've broken into a chant for Solskjaer. So I think that says it all.
Exactly.
Funny how player power can possibly work
both ways.
That's right. But, yeah, look, it's just a match made in heaven. He's made the players happy. He's given them structure. He's got them playing the Manchester United way, which I'm sure, as a fan, Jimmy, you would appreciate just seeing them with that old style and flair back.
Totally.
Still got a lot of work to do, don't get me wrong, in the transfer market.
Trade.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of work to be done, but at least he's bought the group. He's galvanised the group. So Manchester City scraping through over Swansea, as you said. Aguero with an 88th minute winner, and they needed an own goal as well. In the 78th minute, they were 2-1 down against Swansea. They obviously had a Champions League game during the week as well. And if we go across to the Premier League, Newcastle, big point for them, with a 94th minute Matt Ritchie equaliser that gives them another point away from the relegation zone. And Leicester, this was a massive result for Leicester because they were down to 10 men after 4 minutes.
Wow.
With Maguire showing a straight red card. So 86 minutes with 10 men, scores a 90th minute winner through Wes Morgan. Big 3 points for Leicester against Burnley. And more to the point, that's not a good result for Burnley either.
Exactly.
But that other game, I should give that due credit, West Ham Huddersfield. 4-3. Huddersfield were up 3-1. And then 3 goals in the last 15 minutes. And Chicharito with a double there. Fantastic game of football. You mentioned that big save, which deserves due credit as well. But if we look at this is for the punters, the relegation battle, it's obviously becoming a little bit clearer. But if you look at 18, spots 18 with Cardiff through to 16 with Southampton, there's 2 points in it. I'm picking right here and right now Cardiff to go down.
Yes.
I just think they've got too tough a run. They've got to play Chelsea. They've got to play Man City, Liverpool, Manchester United. They've only got 3 games at home, 5 away. I can't see them surviving that. Burnley have got to play Cardiff, Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal. And Southampton have to play Brighton, Liverpool and Huddersfield. If you look at the machinations of the run home, I think Cardiff are gone.
Yeah. Liverpool play Fulham overnight, tonight. Could go back to the top of the table after a great result in Champions League during the week.
Could?
Will.
Should.
Will.
Will. Power words, Jimmy.
Yeah, hey.
Power words.
Should. Will. That's right.
I can't see anything but a Liverpool win there. Ray, and you and I can celebrate around mid-morning tomorrow. We'll probably flick the group text to Jimmy. And
Hey, you're all quiet when Man United have a win, and I had to forward through the photo with Sir Alex Ferguson and Eric Cantona.
I deleted that one.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't see that
now,
one.
Now, before you go, Mossy, let's come back closer to home. A-League today, I want an answer. Wellington v Western Sydney, $2 the home side, $3.40 the Wanderers, $3.80 the draw.
The short answer is Wellington. The slightly extended answer is they need to make sure there is no form of complacency whatsoever after dishing up an 8-2 result to Central Coast last week. But I think Wellington at home too strong.
The other game, Sydney FC v Melbourne City. $1.85 the Sky Blue, $3.80 the draw, $4 the Citizens.
Sydney FC at home, pressure building on Warren Joyce. They've been winless in about 5 years. But they haven't got a good record against Sydney FC. And in fact, let me just quickly give you this stat because this is very important. Melbourne City are after their first win in 7 games. Sydney FC against Melbourne City this year, 2 wins, 5 goals for, none against out of 2 games. So Sydney FC to shake off the travel in the Asian Champions League during the week and get the result at a very, very soggy Leichhardt Oval.
Yeah. Good on you, Mossy. I don't care what people say, mate. That was a very good update. Well done.
Much better when I come in, isn't it, Jimmy? I can stare you both down.
1353-53, the open line number. We're going to take a break now. Before we go to the break, our third question in the China Doll long-time listener quiz. $150 voucher up for grabs. Who was the other Queensland-based player that Wally Lewis went and had a meeting with the Manly Sea Eagles with? Who was the other Queensland-based player that Wally Lewis had a meeting with? Call now if you'd like to win. You got all the answers and you want to win. 1353-53.
Friday nights have come alive at Winnie Parks with the brand new Friday Night Lightning Series. The Big Dash of the Dogs will feature the fastest greyhounds around whilst we party at the park with Sydney's coolest DJs. Grab your mates and get down to the Dogs at Wentworth Park this Friday from 5 p.m. and ride the mechanical bull, belt out the national anthem and take a splash in the lightning hot tub. Friday Night Lightning is the hottest ticket in town. Entry is just $5 to the gate. This is an event you don't want to miss. Head to the Friday Night Lightning Facebook page for more info and we'll see you at the Dogs.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications invites you to join the people's trainer, Richard Freeman, in a magnificent colt by Scissor Kick. Arrowfield's outstanding racehorse, now exciting new sire. Our colts from Miss Backs, a dual-winning three-quarter sister to 4 stakes winners, including Accomplice and Given. Join our Dynamic Richard Freeman team in this classic colt. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360-808.
Through ball, Barbarousis, no question of offside this time. He cannot stop scoring against Brisbane. Costa Barbarousis makes it 1-0, and it is a solemn celebration from him.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the program. Just before we get to Jared Daffy from tab.com.au, our China Doll, a long-time listener winner after the 3 questions. Congratulations. Paul from Chipping Norton. Paul from Chipping Norton.
Warwick Farmway.
It is at the Warwick Farmway. Remember China Doll, the award-winning restaurant located at the historic Finger Wharf at Woolloomooloo. For bookings, call 02-9380-6744 or you can visit the website chinadoll.com.au. The answers, of course, Dixie Blossom's going to the
Emancipation Stakes.
Dean Bulldog Richie's Wooden Spooners.
With Titans.
Yeah. And Wally Lewis's mate that he brought down to try and sign with Manly.
Big Gino,
the legendary Gene.
And just quickly before we go to Jared, this is from the lovely Michelle from Dubbo. Duck Creek picnic races are held every year at the Ningen Racecourse. Maybe Zorba was giving this must-do meeting a plug. And Michelle, we know we've got some tickets coming your way for our very good friends at China Doll.
Yes, $150 voucher.
A couple weeks ago, but on the way, Michelle.
I tell you, you'd line up all right at China Doll, I reckon.
I reckon Jerry goes all right.
Jared Daffy would. I think it was 16 years ago that he and I first spoke on air. And now, Ray, when I said that earlier in the program, you gazumped me. No, I didn't. You did. Yeah. You said, oh, I've known Jared for 25 years or more.
I didn't say it that way.
You know what he's like, Jared. Good morning, mate.
Morning, boys. Ray's been always one of my all-time favourites, known globally, but you, Jimmy. This show now goes pretty much around Australia and around the world. Being an ex-Victorian, very, very disappointed in your potting Melbourne Storm earlier. Very disappointed.
Hang on, I didn't pot Melbourne Storm. All I'm saying is...
Get that tape out.
If you look at it closely, that's what... And we've had an SMS come in and said, well,
I'm going to find
if
it,
you
yeah.
pull the Melbourne Storm up on that, then you're called for nitpicking.
Yeah, so the balance, let the game flow.
Just on that, Jared, the point that you make there with our wider audience now, and we've got Sophie, the lovely Sophie, could be a man. no, it's true. We do.
No,
we've had no confirmation that...
Sophie says she is
on social media. Anyway, don't worry, Jimmy Smith. No one knows who you are in New South Wales, let alone anywhere else in Australia. Just
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
Not a bad line.
Not from Sophie. That's actually quite tame.
I think most people in New South Wales, Victoria, and probably Queensland would know that Jimmy Smith, one of the greatest footballers ever to pull on a pair of boots.
Yeah, of course. There must be another Jimmy Smith. It certainly was on this one. What about National Rugby League? A couple of games there. We've got the Intrust Super Cup as well and Canterbury Cup game today as well.
Yeah, punters are cashed up after yesterday in the NRL, boys. All three favourites won today. Penrith $1.55, Parramatta $2.50. There's been a bit of money for the Eels. A line there of 5.5 points with the minus for Penrith at $1.85. And in this second game, it's a little bit tricky. This talk around Ash Taylor has been sick for the major portion of the week and a little bit of a doubt about him playing. So as it stands, Gold Coast 185, Canberra 195. But keep an eye on those lineups for sure.
Mm. Game four, the NBL Grand Final series between Melbourne and Perth this afternoon, Jared.
Yes, Ray, and the series is gone. Home side wins every game and has all the way through the season as well. But it's do or die today for Melbourne, and they're pretty short given what we saw on Friday night. They're $1.52. Perth at $2.55, a line there of 3.5 points, and not surprisingly, with that sequence of wins for the home side, most of what we've seen has been for Melbourne. Melbourne United will be interesting to see whether it goes to a deciding match, but $1.52 today.
Mm. And just before we get to the A-League, Formula One, of course, in Melbourne today, and our theme is traitors, after that's what Katie Walker said to Angus Crichton. Really, Formula One's a traitor to Adelaide, stolen by Melbourne. So, I don't know, are you Melbourneites? You just try to steal everything.
Jimmy, Melbourne is the second greatest city in the world. It's the sporting capital of the world. It's where it belongs. It was just a little bit of a trial run, an entree in Adelaide. He's $1.40 today, Hamilton. He was short the last couple of years, I think, and of course, Vettel won both of those. You can run out of petrol, you know. Lots of things can happen. He's $1.40. Vettel looks a good price at $6. Bottas, $7. Verstappen at $10. And Leclerc, he was well in the betting. He was $3.50 prior to qualifying yesterday. He's way out to $21 now, starting off $5 on the grid, I think.
Jared, second greatest city. What, you're going to put Ballarat or something in there, are you?
No, Warrnambool. Why are you laughing?
How silly of me. How silly of me.
Two A-League games this afternoon too, Jared.
We've got Wellington at home today, Ray. They're $2. The draw there at $3.80 and the Wanderers at $3.40. There's been a splattering of support for the Wanderers there, but in the second game, it's all Sydney FC. They were $1.92 for the major portion of the week. They're into $1.85 now. Draw $3.80 and Melbourne City there at $4 outsiders.
Golden Slipper Market really taking shape with the win of Cosmic Force as well. Jared, we've got to go, mate. We'll have to get you on earlier next week. We've got Scotty Foster. He sells cars like you wouldn't believe on this program, so we've got to get to him straight away. Thanks, mate. We'll speak next week. Jared Daffy there from tab.com.au. Scotty Foster is on the line, as he always is, from Foster's Quality Cars. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Jimmy, and good morning, Ray.
Morning, Scotty. Did you sell Jimmy's car last week, Scotty?
Out here.
Hello,
are you there?
Yes, we're there.
Sorry, mate, I'm just saying it's very wet out here. It's a terrible morning, really.
So we believe. Hopefully a lot of people on the lot today buying cars, although it's probably not the weather for it, only ducks. Hey, mate, you'd be a bit nervous today with the Parramatta Reels running around for the first time.
Yeah, I am a little bit, actually, mate. They've already got a little bit of a depleted side and a few players out, so there are a lot of one-y players, actually, playing in the Canterbury Cup this afternoon. They're playing before the NRL, so it's going to be interesting to see how they go. I'm hoping the weather actually plays in our favour.
Mm. Now, what about a car for the... We sell cars for fun on this program. Mm. Car for the listeners. We've got an extended audience this morning, Scotty.
I heard that, and the listeners should know that we do transport vehicles all over Australia, so if you're in Queensland or Tasmania, we can get the vehicle to you. And today is something very rare, so it could be for an interstate buyer, this one. This is an outstanding NL Fairlane Ghia. This is a big, beautiful motor car. It's got luxury options throughout. This is like travelling, like a travelling lounge room, the seats are that comfy. It has full leather trim, climate control air conditioning. It's got Bluetooth, power windows, power sunroof, ABS brakes, airbag, traction control, cruise control, alloy wheels. And best of all, it has a big, powerful V8 engine for an absolutely outstanding drive. This will be a fantastic vehicle for one of our lucky listeners and is on sale today for just $4,990. It is madness. This is a beautiful V8 Ford Fairlane, silver in colour, for just $4,990. You've got to be quick and go to the website, www.fosterqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-75024 and mention Sky Sports Radio to get this great price.
And you can help with finance too, Scotty.
Certainly can, Ray. We've got great finance packages available. We have access to a number of lenders, and this allows us to get the best possible interest rate,
yep.
But it also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past,
yep.
Then now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid default, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, then go to our website, www.fosterqualitycars.com.au. Well, give us a call now on 963-75024.
Great job, Scotty. We've got a flyer, mate. We'll be getting you on earlier next week. Coming up on Racing HQ, Gary Cleese preview the country championships qualifier at Grafton. Mick Wallace at Bathurst on Radio Tab. Past the Post, Paul Sawtell and Nathan Exelby. And remember, the BSB is back tomorrow morning from 5.